The word of God says, when the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistines, the woman came out with all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but with me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with David, but had left Saul. For he sent David away from him, and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success, because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he led them in their campaigns. In your anger, do not sin. Do let the sun go down while you are still away. And do not give the devil a foothold. We'll give the following time to Reverend Jimmy Lin.
Good morning. Good morning. Sorry that I have a cold, so may not sound that well. Before the service, Reverend Tam came in and asked me to introduce myself because it's the first time I'm with you. I've been with your Chinese congregation. If I want to introduce myself, a long story. I mean, I'm over 67 years old, so, right? just to give you some idea about how I connect with Reverend Tam. I mean, I had my seminary education on the East Coast in Westminster and Princeton. And that's how I got to know Reverend Tam's brother. Some of you may know that Reverend Tam is one of three sons in his family. His brother is Dr. Isaac Tam. And so we got to know him. And then when I moved to Chicago in the 90s, then we began to get to know Reverend Tam. Just to give you a brief idea, I'm retired. But for 25 years, I worked at the Back to God Ministry International. That's a Christian media of the Christian Reformed Church of North America. And our base, our main base is in Grand Rapids. But then where I work is actually in Chicago. Well, I say Chicago, south suburb of Chicago, in a town called Palos Heights. I don't know. Anyone know about that? It's on southwest suburb. So, for 25 years, I've been working there. We are an international Christian media. When I joined the Back to God, of course, at that time, it was mainly radio. I mean, media was radio. Nowadays, it's not radio anymore. So by the time I retired, it's all on social media. I was in charge of a Chinese ministry. We actually are involved in 10 different languages. And for the English one, probably, if you were of my age, you probably heard about Faith 20 that was on television. And then nowadays, is probably some of you may have heard about the Today Devotional. That's our main thing from the English. And then the Reframe Media, that's mainly on the internet too. But that's all in the past. I mean, I'm retired already, so right now I'm just preaching around and enjoying the life that God has given me, my wife, kids and grandkids. So, anyway, that's 67 years into a few minutes. For today, I want to talk to you a little bit about anger, bitterness. Well, for most of us in the States, I mean, nowadays we hear, I mean, racial discrimination, racial tension, racial injustice. We hear it on social media, we saw it on the news, on television, and then of course, if you still listen to radio in your car, you hear a lot about that. And of course, you read it in the printed media too. We talk so much about it that we thought that maybe we have a wrong impression that we are the only country that has a racial problem, right? But actually, we know that it's all around the world. And maybe some of you have heard about apartheid in South Africa. Right? Apartheid in South Africa, that means during the last century, there was a long period of time when about 10% of the population in South Africa controlled the whole country. And there was a lot of segregation and discrimination against people of color. And one of the person that you probably heard a lot that led the sort of against apartheid was Nelson Mandela. Right? You probably heard about him, Nelson Mandela. He won the Nobel Prize. Nelson Mandela was persecuted, was put in prison for over on and off 20 years. But when Nelson Mandela was released from prison, he said one thing. I probably want to control myself, but you can help me if you want to. And he said, as I walk out, the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. Mandela was saying that many of us, we are free. I mean, we are free in this country. I mean, we are free to do whatever we want. But somehow we are being imprisoned because we have so much bitterness, so much anger that we won't let go. It's not a physical prison. It's more like an emotional prison that's holding us back. And Jack Winslow, I don't really heard about him. I didn't know too much about him too, but I read some of his things. Jack Winslow is a psychiatrist in England. He's actually the head person, president of that psychiatric hospital. And he once said, half of my patients could be released any day if they can let go of their anger, of their bitterness. I mean, we are all smiling, right? We are all singing ourselves, smiling. So, I mean, are you bitter if I ask you? Probably not. But that's how a psychiatrist would say that, well, there are things that we can check if we are bitter. Yeah. Oh, so maybe I should let you help me. This thing doesn't seem to advance. Is it on? Oh, maybe it's, which one is the on button? Okay. That works. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be in media, right? I should know all these things. But I mean, we always have a different dishes. So how do you know if you are bitter? I think there should be several. This should be a sequential thing, right? Okay. Let's try again. Okay. How do you know if you are still holding anger after someone has hurt you or someone has apologized? You know, you are still bitter if you try to avoid that person. I mean, walk down the street, maybe it's your neighbor. You know that he goes out every morning to walk, and you try to go out 5 minutes later because you don't want to see him or her, you know, right? I mean, and you are always trying to think in your mind. Because we are all civilized, right? We don't really want to hurt him or her, but we are trying to think of something in our mind, how we can do it. Strange. Although you try to avoid him, at the same time, you spend a lot of time thinking about him, and whenever you hear anything about that person, wow, your ears become longer. That's a Chinese saying. You know, you want to hear, is there any bad thing? You probably want to hear some bad thing about him. Does he have cancer? You know, or does he have a car accident? Wow, or is he married? Divorced? You know, you really want to know, because he has hurt you and you didn't want to let go. And then you get angry and you lose your temper over teeny little things that you never cared before. But because you have your anger in you, you will lose your temper. And the last thing, if it really happened, it really hurts. Because we are civilized. We don't want really to outwardly trying to hurt people, right? And we just have it all in my mind, and we're so much anger inside ourselves. It needs to be, you know, released. And we want to release, we can't release to the other person. We don't want to be embarrassed, I mean, by other people. So we release our anger. We hurt the people that we love most. Our spouse, our family members, those are the ones that have been hurt, because we will release our anger towards them, because they will take it. They are my wife, my husband, my good friend. They have to take it. And that's really bad. So we talk so much about bitterness. So actually, what is bitterness? I mean, I've mentioned probably energy before. I mean, bitterness is you cannot let go of your anger. You just want to hold on to it. You just want to hold on to it. I don't want to let go. And that's what the passage that we read just now, I mean, Ephesians chapter 4, it says again, is, if your anger, you do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. The Bible never says that you cannot be angry. Jesus was angry too. Right? You remember Jesus went to the temple and he saw there were people selling things in the temple. He was really angry. He was mad. He drove the people out. Jesus was angry. Jesus was angry with the Pharisees. Jesus was angry with the scribes, with different people who misinterpret the Bible, who led people in the wrong way. Jesus was angry. But the Bible said, you can be angry, but don't let it have us in you. Don't let it become sin. Don't let it stay there all the time. If you let that happen, if you let the bitterness will grow, then it becomes a spiritual problem. It became sin. We read that long passage just now, right? It's not a short passage. The other passage, not the Ephesians, but the one that we have with Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 18, 7 to 16. If you remember just now what we read, actually it was saying that, you probably know about the story. The story was about David and Saul. Saul was the appointed king. Because the Israelites, they want a king. So God gave them a king. God gave them Saul. Saul has been good. But then gradually, he was so involved with himself that he stayed away from God. Right? And all those days, the Israelites have been surrounded, just like today, they have been surrounded by Gentiles. And one of their constant enemies were the Philistines. And you remember that story, if you have been to church a little while, even if you were a little kid, you remember the story of David and Goliath. There was a giant Goliath coming to fight with the Israelites. And everybody was afraid of him because he was such a giant, big man. Right? And nobody wants to fight him. Everybody stayed back. Now, David was a shepherd boy, but he was in Saul's palace because he was also a good instrumentalist. He played a harp. And because Saul stayed away from God, his soul was troubled that he asked for David, probably asked for a lot of people, but David played the harp and it calmed him down. So David was in Saul's, company. And everybody was afraid of Goliath, and Saul didn't even want to fight him. But David volunteered to fight him. You remember the story? David used a few stones and he killed Goliath. So that should be the end of the story. Everybody should be happy. But not. When we read chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, when we start with the verse 7, right? Verse 7 says, All the ladies were singing and they were dancing and they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And then verse 6 says, Saul was very angry. Saul was jealous. He was jealous of David. He was saying that if people think that he could kill 10 times more than I do, that he is so much better than I do, he would be the king, and I will lose my palace. Right? So he was jealous. And the whole passage was talking about Saul trying. At first he was jealous, just a little bit, and then he planned to kill David. One time, two times, three times, you read the whole 1 Samuel. There were many times that actually David has to evade Saul. David has to run away because Saul was after him all the time. And that's what the Bible says in 1 James, James 1. After your desire and conceive, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. That's why we have to get rid of the anger, because if we have the anger inside us, if we let that happen, it will become sin. It will gradually become sin. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, do not let your anger continue until the sun goes down, because it will lead to sin. And sin eventually will lead to death. Even in the case of Saul, he died because of his disobedience to God. So we talk about how do we know we are bitter. We talk a little bit about the example of Saul, what will affect us. Maybe we think it's not going to kill us. But there are problems that bitterness is going to affect us in this life. There's several things. First, I want to mention is that bitterness affects our health. If we are angry all the time, it's going to affect our health. Well, we think, I won't believe it. But somebody said this verse. Interesting. Bitterness is like drinking poison and then hoping that it will kill your enemies. Because you don't want to really do revenge, right? So you have it inside you, thinking all the time. And you are so bitter and you are so angry, but the other person, he or she didn't know. He or she never know. So your bitterness is not actually affecting him or her. It's only hurting you yourself. You got stomachache, you got high blood pressure, everything. But the other person, he or she is living very happily because they are not affected. They didn't even know. And the interesting thing is that this is also, this particular saying was also by a very famous person that's very related to when we talk about racial problems. This is the guy, the person that actually said this word. It's Martin Luther King Jr. who said this. He suffered a lot. He was prejudiced against. He said, if I keep it to myself, it's going to hurt me rather than the other person. It's going to hurt me. If you keep it to yourself, if you keep on bitter, it's going to hurt you rather than the other person. So it's going to affect our health as something very serious. But also, another thing is that it's going to affect our relationship with others. Coming back to the in the beginning, right, I said, how do you know you have bitterness? The fifth point is that you will hurt people you love most. Because those are the people you know that they will forgive you. They will accept your bitterness. They will accept your burst. They will accept those things that you did. So that's why you channel all your anger towards them. Right? And it's going to affect your relationship with your spouse, with your family members, with your colleagues, with your close friends. And even coming back to the example of Saul, we found that too. You remember Saul's relationship with David is very interesting, right? Saul has a son by the name of Jonathan. And Jonathan was always been a very good friend, almost like a brother to David. They were very, very close. And Saul was very unhappy about that. And actually, many times, because we didn't go into the detail, when Saul was trying to chase or kill David, Jonathan always tried a way to help out, to let David know ahead of time, or help David to stay away from Saul so that he could not find him. So, Jonathan was the first person in his family. It's actually in Saul's family, right? But you probably remember Jonathan, but you probably don't remember Jonathan also has a sister by the name of Merab. Merab was the daughter of Saul, right? But Saul, in trying to control David, gave his daughter to David as a wife. So actually, David's relationship with Saul is also between a servant and a king, but also a son-in-law with a father-in-law. And Saul thought that his daughter would be on his side. But actually, this wife loved David more than his father. So, Merab always tried to give David ahead of time what his father was doing, what her father was thinking, so that David can stay away, so that David can stay alive. And so there was a tension between Saul and his son, and also Jonathan, and also between Saul and his daughter, Merab. All because of David. All because of his anger towards David. So this is the relationship. Affecting our health, affecting our relationship with others, but of course, the most important thing when we look at Ephesians chapter 4, it affects our relationship with God. We turn our anger towards God. We could not revenge. But then we said, why? Why would you, God, why would you let this happen? Why would you let this happen to me? And we blame God for it. And we rebel against God. Just like Saul. You know, Saul was supposed to be the king of Israel. He was supposed to lead the people to be a sanctuary, or also be a demonstration of God's love to the rest of the Gentiles. But Saul focused all his attention on David. Then the whole country was deteriorating. That's why God wanted David to replace Saul eventually. Because Saul wasn't doing his job. He wasn't following God's command. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And for us, it's the same thing. God made each one of us. God has a plan for each one of us. But if we just focus on things that are happening around us that may seem unfair to us, that may anger us, and we focus on all these things, then we would overlook all the good things, all the blessings that God has given to us. And then we won't be doing what God wants us to do. But we will be just thinking about how to do revenge. And that hurt a lot. Because we became disobedient to God. So, we talk a lot about bitterness, what caused bitterness. I mean, how do we detect bitterness? And we know it's bad for us. So how to get rid of bitterness? How to let go of our anger? We can choose.
You may say, Pastor Lin, I mean, that person really hurt me. I mean, he or she may have hurt you verbally, he may she have hurt you emotionally or physically, you or financially, you just felt very, very hurt. And I just can't let go. I mean, we all had that. I mean, we're all adults. We all have that experience. We just can't let go. We tell ourselves, we cannot let go. We cannot forgive. Even if the other person apologizes, it's not going to help. We really cannot let go. But actually, it's a matter of choice. Whether we want to let go. I mean, if we want to, we can do it. It's a matter of choice. Now, why? How? How we can choose? There are several things. The first thing is that because God has forgiven us. Very soon we are going to celebrate Lord's Supper together. Lord's Supper is a remembrance of God's forgiveness of us. I mean, who can come before the table of God? Nobody. We have sinned against God from the moment we were born, even until today. Even after we became Christians, we still sin. We still anger God. If God has us all this anger, how could we come before God? But when Jesus died on the cross, demonstrated his own love for us, while we were yet still sinners, when we were even actually against him, we didn't even know God, or we were cursing God, at that time, his son died for us on the cross. If God has forgiven us, how can we say we cannot forgive others? How can we say we cannot let go of our anger? If God can forgive us so much, how can we say we choose not to forgive this little part? This is just irrational, right? If we compare with what God has done for us. And then, of course, it's not just by our own, I mean, it's not just by my own free will, I'll just choose forgive. By my own practice, I'll choose forgive. We can, as Christians, we know that God has forgiven us, and God promises that he will help us to let go. Of course, we know this. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. God can help us. It's not, sometimes if we choose to forgive, then we find out that we actually could forgive. We actually could let go. And it's not just by our willpower. Looking back, we find, okay, it's God who has been helping us all along. It's God who has been helping us all along. We can choose to forgive because God has forgiven us, because God can help us forgive, but also because we can release the other person to God. We are not going to kill him anyway. We are not going to kill her anyway. And because we are civilized, we are not going to do anything, actually. So it's all just my loss? No, not really. Because the Bible is saying that God is the one who will judge eventually. In Romans, it's quoting from the Old Testament, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord." I mean, it's not praying that, I mean, I'm not encouraging you to pray that God kill him, let him die in an accident, let him have cancer, let him have a divorce. No, I'm not saying that. But God, I let go. I let go. I let you do your justice. I let you judge. I let you be the judge. I'm not going to be the judge. That's why it's a good thing that we should let go and let God. Right? Just one teeny little alphabet. Let go and let God. We can choose to release. But also, we can grow through this. Because through this experience that we can let go, we can let go of our bitterness, we can learn the next time when it happens, we can handle it easier. And also, we can also help other people to grow. We can also help other people. Maybe our spouse also has some unhappy experience at work. Or maybe your sister also have some verbal experience by some other people. Then you can help them. You can help them to grow. Help them to learn from your experience.
2 Corinthians 1:4 says, the God of all comfort will comfort us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in their trouble with the comfort we ourselves. We learn it, we experience it, and then we can help others to grow. And that's a decision we want to make. Do we want to grow? Do we want to choose to forgive? Because if we choose to forgive, we can grow. We can get better. That's why he said, you can get back bitter, you can still bitter. But if you change one little character, you can get better. If you let go, you can get better. So, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are there people that God wants you to forgive today? Are there bitterness that God wants you to give away today, to let go? That's something we have to ask ourselves. We have to come before God honestly. But I also want to warn you one thing. Sometimes the bitterness is not really against some other people outside. Sometimes we have to learn to forgive ourselves. And the devil is very good in preventing us to do this. What do you mean by forgive ourselves? As Christians, we all want to follow Jesus. We all want to be like Jesus, like Christ. We all want to grow, right? Some of the songs that we sing just now. But when we look back on our life, whether you're 67 years old or 20 years old or 10 years old, how many years you've become a Christian, you always see, and the devil is very good at doing that, allowing to see the bad things you have done, the sins you have committed, the behavior that you have not been able to change. And when you look at your own life, many times we always see the negative things because that's what the devil wants you to focus on. And you feel so angry about yourself. Why? Why I didn't change after I accepted Jesus as my Savior for 10 years already? Why I still hanging on to this problem, this sin, this behavior. And that makes you really, really angry. That makes you really, really bitter. That makes you really down as a person. So what we need to do is to forgive ourselves. Not that we say, oh, okay, that's okay. We can do whatever we want. We just have to look, trust the future. We have to do better next time. That's what Paul says, right? Look to the front and not the back. I want to pull out from the Bible, from a person who talks about forgiving himself, learning from failure. It's a long quote. This person said, I have missed more than, he's a basketball player, I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. Wow. He didn't count how many he made, but he missed more than 9,000 shots. I have lost almost 300 games. Wow, that's pretty bad, right? 26 times I have been trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I miss. So 26 times because of me that my team missed, lost. I have failed over and over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed. Because I can forgive myself. I can push on. I can try it one more time. I can look for the future. I look for better. Probably you know this person because not that many famous person has shot 9,000 shots. Miss. So he must probably shot many more than that. And of course this person is close to all of us because he's from Chicago, right? This guy. This is the guy that said this verse. So in closing, I would just say that bitterness is a big problem. Whether you're young or old, male or female, rich or poor, whatever.
And we need to learn how to let go of our bitterness so that we can grow as a Christian. We can grow as a husband. We can grow as a person, as a friend. And most importantly, we need to look at ourselves and don't let the devil tell you, you cannot grow. We can always do better. Don't just look behind, but look towards the future. Let's pray, sir. Our Father in heaven, we come before you on this beautiful but cold Sunday morning. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts because you have been so good to us. And your love always warms our heart. As we look back on your word and look back on our own lives, we know that there are many times where we have fallen short of your expectation. And that helped get us angry, grieve us. We just ask that you help us to learn from past experience, to be able to forgive ourselves, but also forgive others who have hurt against us, so that we know we are in harmony with you and we will be in harmony with others. We pray that your Holy Spirit will work in us to change our attitude, to change our behavior, so that we can be a more pleasing person in the sight of others and also before you. We pray all this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen.
As we sing the responses, Him Change My Heart, O God.